Hello and welcome to another edition of Conversations of the Heart. As always, it is me, it's your boy T-Till. We have a very special guest, a returning guest of this season, the amazing, the incomparable Miss Toshiba Davis. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist. If you caught our last episode, you know we can go. Okay, and she is a certified body and mind life coach, a published author as well. You know, she does a lot of different things, ladies and gentlemen, especially through her dance ministry. And we will talk all about those things, you know, and more. But today we are going to be talking about relationships. I know. Right. But we're going to be talking about it from a healthy perspective. Right. You know me, I don't do things for clout to click. So we're going to be doing things from, you know, a very healthy perspective. You know, she is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and Lord knows we need her. And I'm glad that she is one to join me on this conversations. Toshiba, welcome back to the show. Thank you for agreeing to do the show. You know, last time we talked, we were going, and as we were going, my mind was turning. My mind was
rolling.
Was like, we need to go here. But if we go here on this episode, we'll be here for 4 hours.
Right.
So
right.
I said, you know what, Terrence? Relax. Talk to her afterwards and see if she'll agree to come back to do this. And you have graciously accepted. So again, thank you so much. So for the people who were somehow missed last episode, just tell the people who you are.
First, thank you, Terrence. Thank you for, you know, thinking of me, asking me, having me on your platform. So I don't take that lightly. So again, thank you for allowing me to be in your space. And so hello all. Yes, I'm Toshiba Davis, licensed marriage and family therapist, certified life, body, and mind coach, right? And I say that because of Terrence mentioned my dance ministry, dance as a coach, dance. It's proven that movement is healthy, right? Physically and emotionally and mentally. And so I use that and dance and my love for it to encourage and empower women through dance, through release. And then we do various exercises to release the old, right? And to walk and learn our identity in Christ, right? And so I use that to assist women to let go of the old and walk into the new. And as he mentioned, I'm a published author. My books that are on Amazon, From Stress to Rest, it's a daily devotional. Daily Press is another book on Amazon. My Dance and Movement workbook, and then my Breaking the Chains workbook as well. So I try to stay busy, Terrence. I mean, if God's given me something, I want to produce and share, right? Leave that legacy, if you will, for others.
100%. And so I kind of want to dive right into it, right? From a clinical perspective, right? In your expertise, being a licensed marriage and family therapist, where do relationships go?
You know, that's a loaded question.
Oh, okay. I know. That's why I had to start out with this. I had to start with this now because out the box, before we get a little weary, you know, I want to get this.
I mean, how much time do you got? Like, where do relationships go wrong? If we're going to start, we'll start with a lot of us are choosing wrong. Period, point blank. Or choosing, they may be the right person, but for the wrong reasons.
Ooh, talk about that a little bit.
So we'll start there. Okay.
Yeah.
We will start there. As people say, my picker is wrong. So from this beginning, a lot of us, again, not all of us, we're not an anomaly. You know, all of us have different backgrounds, experiences with parents or our guardians who raised us. However, a lot of people, our first introduction, if you will, of a relationship and how a relationship is developed, how we work through conflict, is from where, Terrence? Where do we first learn about relationships?
Oh, Well, there's two answers that come to mind. It's parents. And for a lot of us, well, not us, but TV. I've heard that a lot, right? Like, oh, well, I learned my first thing with it's with Disney, it's TV, it's all of that, right? So I say those are my two answers. I don't know if I'm right, but I would say parents and TV.
Yeah. Boom, ding, 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 ding. Our parents, right? First one, yes, our parents. And so unfortunately, a lot of us are growing in households that possibly a one-parent household.
Yeah.
Then we're not seeing the dynamics of what it looks like. And I'm going to be very, because I know you have your audience, but look, a two-parent household, man and a woman. Amen. Okay. A lot of people don't see that. And or if they are, they do live in a two-parent household, sometimes the relationship isn't the most healthiest. For example, I grew up in a two-parent household. However, the relationship wasn't the greatest. I did not see my dad. I know my parents did their best because our parents do the best, right? That they know
of course.
How to do. And just from what they learned or didn't learn. So my parents, they didn't learn a lot about healthy relationships. So I'm watching the dynamics between my mom and my dad. My mom not knowing how to submit. Like, my mom came from a strong, you know, my grandmother, she does everything. So my mom is seeing how a woman is leading, right? My dad, because of the hurt, I found out later that his mom, my grandmother, did to him. Again, he's never vocalized this. I'm just going off of just what I saw and what I learned later. He kind of saw women in a different light. So my dad cheated on my mom multiple times. Right. And so then my dad in and out of job. So, of course, a woman's going to do. I got bills to pay. I have kids. So, of course, she's going to lead. However, me seeing her lead and then not submitting because my dad is out here running the streets, having in and on job. So the what I'm seeing how a relationship is not healthy. And then because of my dad's not ability to not get what his mom didn't give to him, because my dad's father died when my dad was really young, about 13. So the dynamic, so then it starts, if we're not catching these things and what we need to do to heal, and my dad was, and my dad didn't heal from what my grandmother did to him. He didn't heal. These women in this light cheating on my mom, just, you know, doing whatever you want to do. My mom, she grew up in a two-parent household for a little bit, but my grandparents, her parents, they argued a lot. My grandfather, he was an alcoholic, right? So my mom is seeing that dynamic. And so I say that to say, as far as to answer your first question, to not be here for 13 hours, it's from what we see growing up, learning. And then, as we know, television, media, and all that, they ain't telling us the truth about relationships.
No.
We have a honeymoon, thinking honeymoon is forever. Love, oh my gosh, it's warm and gushy. And yes, you can have wonderful, warm, fuzzy feelings. Yes, you can have those. But there's work that needs to be put into any relationship, especially a romantic relationship. So we have these erroneous beliefs and perspectives from media, social media, movies, and then tack on to what we didn't or didn't see from our years of growing up.
Yeah, I love that because, one, most of us come from generations of parents who don't get therapy, right? Whether you're two-parent household, single-parent household, it's therapy. It's not a thing. We don't do that. You know, what happens in the house stays in this house, things like that, right? So a lot of times, when you come from people who don't deal with their stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That stuff gets passed on to you and you don't deal with your stuff. And so now you hop into relationships. So imagine this. We got two people who are hopping into relationships, right? Who don't get into help with their stuff, and they have their parents' stuff, and then they have their stuff, and nobody's getting therapy. And people come from different backgrounds. People could have an immense amount of hurt, pain, have gone through a lot of different things, right? So when you don't go, so when you don't get therapy, right? Now there have been people who have been sexually abused, right? right? And they may have intimacy issues and things like that, right? And then it's just like, now, if you don't get the help for that, right? Now you're with a partner, and now that partner's like, well, it must be me. It's me. This person don't like me, or she'll trust me, or like, or whatever it is, but there's no explanation why, right? It's just, right? We don't have those, like, those tough conversations. We don't really dive in, right? Because we haven't done the work within us. And I'm not just harping on somebody who's been sexually abused, because that is hard. And it takes a lot of therapy and prayer to get through a lot of this stuff. And it's very dreadful and tormentful, right? And it's hard to open up to people about these things because they judge, right? But it's not just that. I mean, it's so many other things, right? Coming from, you know, you can come from an abusive household, right? You know, like you said, alcohol, cheating, right? A lot of different types of dynamics that have happened in our households, right, that we don't get help for historically. And we pass these things on to our kids and think that they're going to go off and have healthy relationships magically. That's why I say it's our responsibility to have that stop here, right? And say, hey, I don't want my kids having these things. They're going to have their own problems. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
But they shouldn't be dealing with my problems, right? That I didn't get help for, right? Why do you spank your kids? Because they need it? Or because you're angry and you have unresolved problems?
Well, I was spanked, or, you know, this. I was on my okay. I'm okay now. Look how it turned out.
Right. And don't get it twisted. I'm not, you know, saying that you shouldn't discipline your kids. What I'm saying is, they're historically, sometimes you spank your kids sometimes, and sometimes people spank their kids out of, I'm short-tempered, I have a lot going on, right? And so, hey, you know, we got to ask some questions, right? And now, if your kid need them, whatever it is, you got to do what you got to do. That ain't what I'm saying. Please do what you got to do. Now, what I'm saying, though, is it every time? Is it because you're, you know, think about the reasons what's triggering these things, right? If your kids just say something and you flip and you snap because you're stressed or you got stuff going on, right? As where if you've gotten some therapy for certain things, maybe before you would have spanked this kid, maybe you would have said, maybe there's a better way of doing this time, right? So, you know, I think that, you know, we all grow up in different times and in different eras, and we experience different things that affects how we show up in relationships. And there's so many, and it's layered.
Ooh, it's deep, Mark. It's deep terms.
It's
many layers.
like it's so many different things that we can go on. But from a woman's perspective, where do you think men go wrong? Hold on. All right, fellas. All right, I know what you're thinking. I already know. Okay, you might want to get a pen and paper, get a grocery list, because it might be long. I don't know how long we're going to stay on this topic, but I have to ask this, fellas, because it's all fair, right? Right. Where do you think men go wrong in relationships, right? Based off of your expertise and what you've seen out there, you know, as a therapist.
Do men go wrong?
The hot topic.
And again, another loaded question.
Women gonna say everywhere.
Oh my goodness. Where do men go wrong? Well, again, we talked about, you know, briefly touched on, we already know, like you said, everybody, all of us have been raised in a various way, culture, you know, what we've seen, maybe even the expectation put on us men of how to respond and act. So obviously that's the first thing we know. From the different marriages that I have, and the men and women and the husband's wife that I've sat with. So when you asked me that question, I was just processing some of those conversations. And each one of them are so different as far as where do they go wrong. Some of it is societal pressures of men and how men are supposed to act and present themselves and be with their wives. So of course they're going to take on, oh, as a man, I need to be, they feel, they believe they need to be this overly aggressive. Well, number one, as a man, again, I'm not a man, so you can tell me, but when, even just when talking to my brother, as a man, it's like, okay, if I have a child or a wife or whatever, or somebody who's in my care, I have the responsibility to provide. So as a man, number one, okay, I got to provide. That's already a stressor already in this thing called life. Okay. So they think, okay, and then the stressors of that, the stressors of how to present themselves as a man in the world and with their coworkers, right? So number one is unfortunate, but yeah, the way society puts pressure on men. And so now they have to work through all of that, wanting to, some of them may want to express, but then it's, well, how am I going to be deemed? How am I going to be seen? Even my wife or whatever, girlfriend or whatever, is she going to still respect me as a man if I cry in front of her, or if I really say, hey, I don't know what to do, right? So that is number one, Terrence. Well, after the guardian thing, but that would be the next thing that men get wrong. And then two, what I'm, you know, just some of the people I've talked, the men I've talked to as well, I feel, again, this is just from my experience, and then you could share with me, but the elders, the men who possibly did grow up in a healthy home, or possibly finally did get that therapy, right? They did get that therapy. They did work on themselves. Where can we find them? And are they willing to step out and say, hey, I'm willing to share. I'm willing to be open. I'm willing to start, I don't know, a program. I'm willing to start workshops for men. So I do believe there are healthy men out here, but it seems like whether it be the elders of the church or just these good men are not stepping out and building something that is, for lack of a better word, that is either reachable and or able to find for more men to be built up. Again, I know they're out there, but it seems like it may be just as a little bit shortcoming for them, the men who are needing these things, to find that. That's an issue too. A lot of the good men, maybe they don't want to, maybe they don't know how to, just reach out more. Are they reaching out? Are we reaching back?
Yeah.
To them, that's another thing.
That's a fair question. You know, I think, you know, hit on your first point, you know, the thing about the stressors of what you're supposed to do, right? It is what it is. That is always going to be the stressor, right? And, you know, heavy is the head, right? You know, heavy is the head that wears the crown, right? To a point. That's going to be there, right? And because that's your responsibility to protect, to provide, right? And I think a lot of times where men go wrong, and this is just my personal opinion, with that is when that's the only thing you know how to do, right? Because let's be honest, we're living in a world where women are balling. Women are business owners, CEOs, CFOs, high executives, right? Bitches doing well, got multiple streams, whatever the case is, right? Sometimes, and life is so, and I think this is the thing, life is so, life be lifing. And
I've been using that phrase a lot lately, yeah.
Right? And listen, over the last couple of years, people have been getting laid off left and right. Right. And you could be in a household to where your wife didn't get laid off. Thankfully, you got laid off. And there was a stat that said it takes about 12 to 18 months to get a new job. Like, real. Right. And you make it a part-time job doing something, or even those are sometimes hard to come by, right? At this, with this economy, right? Yeah. And the issue is when your main thing is, I am a provider, which normally means monetary, right? And the lack of understanding that there's more to provision, there's more to providership than just financial, right? And that's where men, I think therapy is so important, because we've got to get more tools in the tool belt, right? Your wife might just want to come home, like she's working 40, 50 hours and you want to grind, right? And the thing about it is sometimes you're so focused on like, I got a job, I got a job. And you're feeling less than, right? You're feeling less than, you're feeling really bad about yourself. And these are real things, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going out there, you're busting your behind, like you're going, mm-hmm. like you're doing interviews, you're applying to jobs every single day, you're doing all the things, right? And then you're angry, you're frustrated, and it gets to you because you feel like, man, like you really feel less than, because you see your person out there working and bringing home money, and you're just like, gosh, doing, like I'm trying to get back there, right? And you're thinking a lot. She's coming home, she's doing the dishes, she's cooking, she's doing the laundry, taking care of the kids, right? A lot of times the problem is yes, go grind, get that job, right? But also, have dinner ready when she gets home, right? Take care of the kids, their stuff, their homework, right? Dishes, laundry, right? This idea that your only thing to do is to provide financially. And when you cannot do it, you don't know how to operate in that relationship anymore, because you think she's not respecting you because of it.
Right.
When in reality is, it's not that she sees you trying, but what she doesn't respect is that you're leaving her doing everything. Because the bills could be paid, but then it's like, okay, so now I gotta cook, clean, kids' homework, and you could be in a room. I'm trying to get this job. Oh my god! And then you get yourself in a depressive state. All right, and that's why a lot of men sometimes, once they're no longer the breadwinner, they sabotage the relationship and say, it's not you, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it's like, yo, there's so many different things that you could do to assist her. And that doesn't make you feminine. Because look, I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. In the household that I grew up in, my dad was the breadwinner and a lot of, you know, with money too. Right? But guess what? He also did the dishes. He also washed clothes, right? Cook a little breakfast, you know what I mean? Breakfast special whenever he could, you know what I mean? We'll be, oh, right? The goal, right? The goal was what needs to be done to make the family go, to make the family work. Not what is it that's going to make my ego go? Because a lot of it is, because we know what this is, gender roles. Oh, well, he's supposed to do this and she's supposed to do this. And da, da, da. Okay, cool. I get it. But I also grew up in a time where, and this is where I say this, and then I'm going to get back to you. I could be long with it, so apologize.
Yeah, I'm good.
This is what happens also when I feel like people don't go through anything, right? Because I've watched, unfortunately, you know, my parents be very sick, each of them at different times, right? That took a toll on the relationship, right? But the goal was what? To make the relationship work, right? What has to be done? There were times that my mom, you know, my mom was working, okay, cool. There were times where she couldn't work because this guy was sick. Sick kid. Mm-hmm. And so she had to stop work and take care of me. And my dad was the breadwinner. Now, does that mean that now he stops? Okay, so I'm the breadwinner now. Boom. So you cook, you clean, You wash, you take care of the kids. I'm gonna just leave my wallet on the table. Bills are paid, my job done. Now, to me, in this society, my dad would have been well within his right to do so. But the way that he did things in this society, he would have been called a simp.
Is that right?
So you mean to tell me you gotta be the breadwinner and then do XYZ? Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, so it calls for it. You do what you gotta do, right? These gender roles sometimes, oh, well, if I'm washing dishes, it makes me feminine. Where if I'm doing laundry, it makes me feminine. If your woman is out there, the breadwinner, and she's understanding of you.
Right.
Because a lot of women, I know a lot of women who are understanding, and not the ones that be on social media yapping. I'm talking real life women. A lot of them are understanding of their man's situation. Where they're not understanding is when you don't do anything else. Right? And that's why I say it is a responsibility to get therapy, because men can slip into a very dark place.
Oh, yeah.
When they're not making money, they can slip into a very dark, ugly place. Right? So it's your responsibility to get therapy, to get more tools in your tool belt. Start helping out around the house more. Cook a little bit. Chef it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, take the load off of her. Because right now, she's taking the load off of you. But you're focused on this one thing. And you can't even see that she's suffering. You're both suffering. That's why it's essential that you are getting the help you need for yourself so that you can add more tools to the tool belt and say, okay, cool. So I'm applying to jobs for 7 hours a day. Cool. So while she's at work, I'm at work doing this. But yo, when she get home, she's not going to have to worry about nothing. Right? And I bet you, it's not going to be, oh, she's losing respect for me and this and that. No, she's going to be like, babe, thank you.
Right.
And you're going to say, thank you. Because you're doing whatever it takes to make the relationship work. If you think the relationship is always going to be one way for the rest of your life, you're going to just be going to have it all together. You're never going to lose a job. You're going to always be balling. You're always going to, okay. And then when it hits you, you don't know what to do.
And you said something. Oh, I'm sorry.
No. Please, please.
Did you want to finish your thought?
Nah, I want to hear you.
I just wanted to, before I forgot, I was writing it down, some of the points you had said about the tools in the toolbox. And for men to recognize, okay, yes, I can go out there and make that money, but recognize, hey, there's more tools for me to have a more, for, like you said, to make the relationship work in harmony than just having, I know how to make money, right? And the other thing that I wanted to bring up was recognizing, going back to society things, that a lot of times, all of us, not just men, we can get caught up in what other people are doing in their relationship, comparing relationships. And we have to, even just some of the couples that I know, they may be doing something different that deemed by society, like, why are y'all doing it that way? And so when you talk about making the relationship work, I encourage couples, hey, you two sit down and identify what makes your relationship work, period. Not because Jane and John were doing it, or Tyrone and Tiffany are doing it. What makes your relationship work? Be okay with how you two want to run it if it works. So I'm glad you brought that up of making the relationship work, but we've got to get out of what other people are doing, what other people are going to think about how me and so-and-so are, as long as, of course, obviously there's no abuse,
you know, right.
But how we're doing our relationship thing, and then be settled in that.
Right. And understand that sometimes things might be for a season, right? How can you get through this season? So you might go through an unemployment season. Okay. You might take some losses as a man, for sure. But if you got somebody that's a rider, like really rocking with you, right? Pouring into you, still rocking with you, all that. you owe it to this person to do the best you can for her, right? Like, you owe that. So, because if you can get through this season, have more tools in the tool belt, and make life easier for her, you can get through this season. But if you don't have those tools in the tool belt, you may not make it through the season, because one, you're always going to be looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, I don't like what I see. And that's a real thing. Like, man, I lost my job, my money, this and that. I don't like what I see anymore. And now you take your persona and how you view yourself, you're taking that into the relationship and saying, oh, she probably sees me as this too. And she might not. She may very well just be like, I see somebody who's crying. I see somebody who's worth it. I see somebody who's going to get past this. But you're viewing it very differently. That's why I say counseling and therapy is so important, to get through the stuff, to give you more tools for yourself to get through.
And I have a question.
Sure, please.
Because the tools thing, where, and we might have already touched on it, but why, if you know, or if, again, I know we're all different and everybody's different in backgrounds, but why do you feel that men stop with one tool and don't seek out the other tools?
Well, it's a few things. I think the first thing is, you know, certain things are ingrained in men, that if you not are a financial provider, then you are nothing. And not realizing some people are financial providers and are still nothing. Right? Because that's all that they do. Right? And hence why some people, they call guys sperm donors. Right? Because it's like, hey, well, here's the child support, or here, I provide financially. What more you want from me? Not understanding that women also need emotional covering. Right?
Yes.
They need other things. They need communicative covering. Right? They need spiritual things. Right? And so that's what I'm saying. Right? That's one thing where it's just, well, man, you know, if I can't do this, I'm nothing. And it's like, oh, you bring so much more to the table than you really realize. You're powerful more than you even realize, because there's so much more to provision than finances. And we're not advocating for men not providing financially. I have to say that, because people are going to be like, so what are you saying? You don't think men should provide? That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, to bring it all together, it's like, yes, men need to be financial providers and this and that. We understand. But what happens with life happens? You'll find out. If they don't have them tools in the toolbox, things gonna stop. Everything gonna stop, right? And so that's one thing. It's just what people deem that who we are, right? It's just, we're just a financial, we need to provide for our family, and that is all, right? And I think the other thing is, you know, it's just the pressure of society. Like, when you go on Instagram, all of these social media platforms, and you listen to people, right? Most of the conversation surrounding dating is, well, if he's broke, don't date him. Or if he's broke, this. Don't do that, right? Like, if you're broke, just say so. If you can't fly me out, then you broke, just say so. But like, these are the things that you see a lot, like on social, that's drilled into social media, these conversations, right? And then imagine being laid off and you go on social media and you have probably 10 accounts that you're following talking about broke men. And you could have been balling at one point. You could have been the one making six figures. You could have been the one providing. You could have been the one doing this. And you go on social media every day.
Right.
People talking about, oh, if he ain't got no job this, he ain't got no job that. That goes into a lot of people's psyche.
It does.
And you start questioning yourself, like, man, I ain't nothing. I ain't this. I ain't that. Right? And that's why it's so important that if you get these tools in your tool belt, then the conversation changes with yourself to, well, I don't have this. But I damn sure do this, right? until I get to this, right? And I think that's the thing, is when you have the mindset of just doing what you can for the family, a lot of the other stuff doesn't matter, right? Because it takes away the pressure of all the stuff, right? Because, okay, so if I go down, I know I could operate and protect in other ways until I get that job.
Get that, yeah.
Right? But if I'm not equipped, I know that's the only thing I'm bringing to the table is the money, right? So now, what else? What am I here for? What am I here for if I can't bring the money because I don't have anything else to offer?
Yeah.
Right? And so sometimes it's easier. And when you have a woman that's understanding, as funny as this might sound to you, it makes it worse. Because the pressure just gets that much more.
Okay.
Because you know that they deserve more. See, it's very easy to find a woman that's like, oh, he's broke. Peace. Right? Or, oh, or doing that type of thing. Easy for a man to go, oh, that worked. So, so that's all you use it for money. Peace. That's easy. Because it's easy to go by. Right? But when you got a rider, it's more pressure. Because it's like, you know what? This person deserves so much more. It's even more.
Wow. Okay.
Right? Because now you want to do so much more. See, when somebody ain't really rocking with you, it's easy to be like, yo,
I'm out. Yeah.
I'm out, bro. Yeah. And that's probably the easiest thing for you to do because it relieves the pressure of, so now all I got to do is worry about myself.
Yeah.
It's just me and myself, and now that's all I got, and that's what I got. So it's just you, right? So that's all you got to do. It's easy. Cool. Bye. But when you got a rider, it forces you to figure it out. And that's why if you have more tools in your tool belt,
yes,
it's easier for you to figure out because you can do more. You can cover her more and mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You can do all that probably until you get that job. Right? And you won't feel so inadequate. You won't feel so bad about yourself. You still feel bad. Don't get me wrong. You will feel bad.
Right. I mean, that's.
But it's not going to be like you ain't nothing, right? Because you know, and you'll see it because even though she's working or whatever the case is, and you at home just banging away those applications, she'll come home. Imagine her coming home, and even though you worked and you know he's hard at work getting those applications and doing those things and getting at it. And so, again, I'm not talking about a lazy man. I'm talking about somebody who's really working hard to get it, right? And you come home, dishes are done. Dinner's on the table, right? You don't have to worry about certain things. The kids' homework is done, all this stuff. And all you can have to do is come home, get a glass of wine or water, and just relax, right? And you're going to say, babe, thank you, babe. Oh, man, this food was bomb, babe. Thank you. And I got leftovers for next week. Oh, for tomorrow, word? You did your thing, babe. Now you're having different conversations, right? Versus, dang, yo, come home from work. House is a wreck. His homework ain't done. He's in the room somewhere. I don't know, doing God knows what. And I got to come home and cook for everybody. Like, that's the thing, right? That's when that resentment starts to breed. Not because you don't have money. It's because you ain't doing nothing, right? So I think these are the things, right? But men can easily get caught up in doing nothing because they're so caught up with their own depression. Who they see in the mirror that they don't like.
Make everything you said make sense. The tools and then the willingness to say, hey, I need to get the tool. Well, I need to get the tools, but I need to talk to somebody. I need to find that assistance to help me deal with these things, right? And again, I know going back to society, a lot of men are like, man up. You don't need to go to therapy.
Oh, yeah.
You'll figure it out. And then different cultures. There's different cultures. Don't tell your business. We keep it in the family. Right. So there's many external things that unfortunately we tend to hold on to, men, women, hold on to instead of alleviate those things to get what we need. Asking, what do I need in the moment? What do I need right now to better my life?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are the things. And therapy, fellas, I'll tell you, can help you in a relationship. Individual therapy, rather, can help you really unload your own stuff to be able to communicate what you're going through better to your spouse or to your girlfriend or to your wife, whatever the case is. Because a lot of men hold stuff in. They don't want to be a bother. They don't want to, you know, I'm too stressing about stuff. Or they're volatile, right? And they're taking it out on you, right? And you're taking it out on your spouse or whatever the case is, your anger, because you're frustrated with life. It's not going in the way. So you're frustrated and you lash out. Therapy can really help you, give you the tools to communicate your thoughts better. And once you have a release, right, you won't tend to bleed all over your partner as you did before, right? And now you can go and say, hey, babe, look, this is what's going on with me. I'm not saying it's easy to do. What I'm saying is, but when you do the work, it becomes easier for you to communicate in a healthy way to your spouse, to your partner, and say, hey, this is what's going on with me. I just got to tell you, this is how I'm feeling, right? And that vulnerability could also take your relationship to higher heights. And I know that some men are going to say, man, I've heard it before, if you talk to a woman and you tell her your intimate thoughts, you tell her what's going on, she'll use it against you in an argument in your most vulnerable time. And I say this to you because it is exactly what Ms. Toshiba said earlier. If that's the case, you picked wrong. You picked wrong. If you think this woman would use something vulnerable in your time, if you already think it about this woman, you picked wrong. Sorry to tell you, bro. That's just what it is.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. A lot of us are picking wrong because we're going from wound to wound. What that means, you know, for those of you listening, is sometimes, just to give you an example, women may subconsciously choose someone, a man that has some of the same habits, beliefs, attitudes, actions as the father. And the father may not have been emotionally available. And now, some women were dating men who are emotionally unavailable. And we're like, and not because we wanted that. It's when we're growing up and we're having these things with our parents or our guardians, we're trying to fix it, right? If that is not fixed when we become an adult and get into relationships, we're subconsciously going to get in with somebody, to fix it subconsciously. Well, if I get with this person, he is going to show me that affection, that attention that my dad did it. And then when it doesn't happen and we don't get that healing, we don't find therapy, sit with ourselves, pray, you know, talk to the Lord, get that healing, then we may get into another relationship trying to fix that, what wasn't fixed in the childhood.
And I want to say this, and maybe unpopular, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but your spouse is not your therapist. Your spouse is not your healer. Your spouse is there to be, to have empathy, to have understanding.
Yes.
To be there for you when you are going through things in life. Right? They are not equipped. And even if they were, you should not be doing therapy sessions, even if you are therapy, correct me if I'm wrong, on your husband or on your wife, right? Even if they are a therapist, okay? The reality is most of us are not in relationships with therapists, stuff like that, okay? So here's the thing, especially Black ones. So at the end of the day, it's not your spouse's responsibility to heal you, to get you to healing. It is not. Okay. I'm sorry to tell you, I know we're used to people just dumping everything on our spouses at their footstep. Now, you should be in communication with them 100%, right? And letting them know what's going on with you. But it's therapy. It's a therapist. Or if you seek a counselor from your bishop or whoever it is, and you hope they're qualified, because some of them they're not qualified either. Sorry to tell. I'm just my opinions. So, unless you're going for spiritual counseling, but for certain things, it's too deep for your spouse. It's what it is.
And what I want to piggyback off that, Terrence, on like how you said your spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the case may be, it's not your therapist and they're not the ones to heal you. I like how you said that. Sometimes that's the thing too. We go into a relationship, we know that, oh, I'm feeling something. If I get into a relationship, I won't feel it anymore. That's an erroneous thinking. If I get into a relationship, I'm going to be happy, I'm going to be whole. No. Boo-boo, you have to be whole before you go into a relationship. You have to know how to soothe yourself emotionally, mentally. You have to know to uplift yourself emotionally, mentally, spirit. You have to know how to do all those things because that other person, he or she is, yes, again, you could have a wonderful relationship, a healthy relationship, but that person can never, never fill you your cup. That's your
No.
like, ooh, skipping
No.
down the Olympic road all the time.
No.
That person is going to fail you, not because they are trying to, but because we're human. We forget, we're rushed, we're trying to do all these things. So I'm so glad that you brought that up so I can continue to expound on that.
Yeah.
That's another thing with relationships. Sometimes we go into it talking about the wrong reasons. Oh, this person is going to fail me and I'm not gonna feel lonely or whatever the case may be. Boo-boo.
Be the
Even in
opposite.
relationships, even in marriage, even in good relationships, sometimes somebody feels lonely. Again, and not because the person is like, I'm, you know, just life be life.
And sometimes a relationship will expose you because you ain't ready. You think you're ready, but you ain't ready. I'm healed. Oh, yes. Okay. When you get into a healthy relationship now, see, it's easy to be in a bad relationship. That's easy. A healthy relationship gonna challenge you in different ways to get yourself together. Man or woman, it's not just for men, it's for ladies too. It's gonna challenge you to be better. It's gonna challenge you to be different. It's gonna be uncomfortable. A lot of us are easily ready to just stay in comfort and dysfunction and be in those bad relationships because, I know what I'm going to expect. Okay. Because it doesn't challenge you on your mess. But a good relationship, a healthy relationship will challenge you in ways you couldn't even imagine, but it'll all be for the better if you let it. And understanding that feelings, right, are fleeting. You're saying, oh, I'm not happy. I'm not happy anymore. What is happy? You could be happy one day, sad the next day. Get through it, right? Happiness is fleeting, right? The thing that you really, and this is my opinion, like I said, my opinion, what you want to aim for is peace. I may not be happy with you Monday, but I'm at peace with you every day. I'm not always going to be happy with you. How many people are not happy on their jobs, but they go every day, right?
You work it
It's
out at
not
the job,
about
okay?
happiness. I ain't happy, but I get this money though. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Because happiness is fleeting. Anger is fleeting. All of these things are fleeting things, right? Oh, I'm emotional. I'm just not happy. So what does that look like? So you'd be happy with him or her tomorrow? Okay, cool. So what does that mean, right? Are you at peace? Because if you're at peace most of the time, you're in a healthy relationship, right? But if you, I'm not happy. I'm saying, like my parents were married for 43 years. You think do I think they were happy? Oh my God, Disney all the time? No,
Right.
they were at peace,
So
and
we're good.
happiness came with that at points. I'm sure at some point, my dad probably didn't like, maybe didn't like my mom some days, and my mom probably didn't like my dad some days.
Oh yes, yeah.
That's probably accurate, right? That if we're being honest and we're not living in a fairy tale. But they knew that the feelings are fleeting. They gonna get back up and do it again tomorrow and be at peace. And I think the goal should always be peace, right?
Like that.
Versus happy.
Ooh, that's good. That's good.
Right? We do things all the time that don't make us happy, man. Like you running your business sometimes don't make you happy every day.
Okay, right.
But you do it
But you do
because you love it and you
it.
enjoy it, right? You may not like it all the time. You know what I mean? Like it's like, oh gosh, like this is hard. Yeah, I love it. I wouldn't change it, right? So we always get in these things of just, I don't feel right. Like it's like, all right, come on, man. Like, where I don't get this, right? Happiness.
Because we've been lied to, Terrence. We've been lied to about what a relationship looks like. We've been brainwashed into believing what relationships should look like.
Disney. Right? And I want to go here because ladies, I'm not getting off this hook. You thought I forgot about you. Ladies, no, I didn't forget about you. Come on in. Come on in a little closer. We're gonna have a nice conversation. But that was the men. Okay. Cool. So I'm gonna ask. Sheba, the licensed marriage family therapist. Where do women go wrong? Now, I know that might be a curse word. Ladies, I understand that that's uncomfortable. Wrong. Yes. Where do ladies go wrong?
I mean, both of them are both loaded questions. I mean, we've talked about how we were raised, so we understand that. We talked about some society things. I feel like with generations, our generation, generations coming up, I mean, it was happening, it's probably been happening, but I feel like in this generation, 2024 and the new age and all of that, social media, technology, women are being trained to be so masculine. We're not being trained to walk in our femininity. We are being boss lady. None of that, nothing's wrong with that. You running out, nothing's wrong with these things. You being the leader, nothing's wrong with these things. As you mentioned, yes, women are, we're building businesses. We're starting things, right? So I feel that where women are going wrong, and even just what I'm hearing from some other men, some things that my brother has mentioned, it's like almost the roles have changed with the masculinity. Now the women are all about that bag. Hence, like you were saying, some women are, oh, you ain't making six figures? Shh. So where women are going wrong in the generation now and what we're seeing on TV, going back to TV, we're seeing these hard women. We're seeing over-sexualized women. And again, this has been going on generations, but now it's just exploded where now women are being over-sexually, even women back in the day be like, men, why are you, well, you know, women are sexual objects. Now women are just blatantly putting themselves out as sexual objects. Point blank, period, right? No shame in their game, busting it wide open. Okay. Literally, women are doing that. Okay. And then we're walking into this feminine, this masculine, women, we're too masculine and we don't know how to allow a man to lead. As you said, if the man, say whatever, he's trying to get himself back together financially, but he's at home taking care of the kids, cooking, you know, making sure the house is ready. Women don't know how to support the man, even in that. Hey, you know what, babe? I appreciate that. We're not knowing how to turn off. Yeah, we're the boss at the workplace, But when we get home, can we show our man and put him in his rightful space? So I feel that is starting to take over more ways than one when it comes to what women are doing wrong.
And it's so funny you said women are just busting it wide open, you know, because it's funny because back in the day, we used to have to like try to turn on BET Uncut to see certain things. Like, you know what I mean? I'd turn on Uncle Luke or something, you know, to see
right,
certain
things.
Right,
you gotta wait till, you know, midnight to watch certain
things. Yeah, but
you just turn on the TV right now.
Yeah, I used to, man, when I was a teenager, I had the TV on the back button to like something else in case my, you know, parents came
somebody
back.
Walked in.
Oh, yeah, what are you watching? Little House and All? Yeah, yeah. Touched by an Angel. Yeah, it's Touched by an Angel. Yeah, right. Right. Now, teens now, they don't have to go anywhere. Women are like you said, women are doing it on their own, right? Like it's very interesting. It's a very interesting time that we're living in when it comes to that. And you know where I think women go wrong? And see, I started with the men, ladies, because I knew you was going to try to stay for that because it's the men, right? So I knew if I started with the women first, you would have left. You would have turned the channel.
No, I probably would have been like, let's go, because
not
I know
that I got you here.
Wrong.
Yeah, see, you would have. But no, we're not there at all. It's like, oh no, Terrence, no, come on in. Just stay right here. Just stay with us now. So a lot of things I find is women feel like they're always right about everything. Right? It is the arrogance sometimes to think that everything that you do is right and everything that everybody else does is wrong. And I say that lovingly because why women a lot of times can't have friends with you, like with each other. You ever seen bickering women? Like they can't have a lot of friends or they can't have things, right? Why? See, you know, men can go on men trips and have a time, have a ball. Simple. If you don't want to do this, I don't care. I'll meet you back at the hotel.
Yep.
No problem. I'm going here, go there. We're going to be back here. Cool. Women, well, why don't you want to do that? She just don't this. And no, well, she just, well, what's her problem? Yeah. The thing is to the realization that you are not always right.
Mm-hmm.
You're willing to drag him to therapy when it's about him. But when the tables are turned, you want to leave therapy.
Right?
There's got to be a come to Jesus moment here. Right? Because sometimes this is the realest thing. You know how men sometimes, before they come home, sit in the garage? Why they stop at the bar first? Why they stop anywhere first before they hit that door?
Because the woman is going to come nagging them.
What I got to do, and what I got to do is always the way to do it. Right? What you didn't do, what this, and what I do is always right. How I do everything around the house is always right. Mm. How I clean is better. Everything is better. And you got to get on my program. Right? It's like, man, like, wow. And if you don't do what I say, when I say it, how I say it, I got attitude. And again, it's no collaboration, right? I've seen jokes on social media, but sometimes those jokes are sad, right? When women don't get their way or stuff like that, then they have a tantrum in certain things. And it's just like, bro, like everything you guys do is not right. There's, happy wife, happy life is nonsense. Because it's automatically implied that if a man makes you, again, happy, right? Wow. That's that emotional world, feeling, fleeting, right? Happy, then she'll make you automatically happy. And I'm telling you, you poll men. Most of the time, that's not true.
Wow. Nope.
right? A lot of times men just suffer in silence and go, yo, c'est la vie, because if I say anything,
I'm just
if
gonna
I say a word,
right?
So you know what? I'm good. Right? So sometimes it's having an open mind. Okay, well, maybe the way I do it sometimes isn't always the right thing. God forbid. Right? Maybe the way I talk to this guy ain't all the way right. Maybe the way I communicate with him, the time I communicate with him. So maybe that's a problem. Maybe not everything I do is right.
Yeah.
But we've been brainwashed to think sometimes that's the way it is. Oh, men are this, and oh, men don't mature as fast, so they're slow. Like, why would I want to talk to you if that's what you think about me?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I think women think we couldn't live without them. Like, you know, I had an apartment before you, or a house, whatever it was, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I was living before you. Like, I was okay. Making my own meals, cooking my own food, living my life like it's golden. Why do you think because you come across, like you came down, like you was Jesus Christ on a white horse and just saved my life? Where did we get that from? Right? Mm-hmm. Now, maybe for some men, the woman saved their life. And for them, I understand. But there's still a thing of not everything you do is right.
We become a society that, well, I can say we become, I think, just from jump. Going back to just we talked about society, what we're seeing on TV, are we taking the time to learn and grow? Or are we allowing, we're being consumed, thank you, Lord, we're being consumed by the wrong things. We're consumed by social media and what other people are doing. We're worried about what these celebrities are doing. So we're being consumed by the wrong things, and we're not consuming the right things to grow us and develop us. So women, you know, feeling like we're right all the time, obviously that is from obviously just, you know, growing up and stuff
back
too,
in the
but
day.
what we're seeing, I mean, when I turn on the TV, like I can barely watch some of these reality TV shows. When it comes to the women shows, all we see is them arguing.
Yeah.
Period. I stopped watching that garbage. I was like, this is garbage. I'm not going to consume it. Right? Because I don't want to take on that perspective. So what am I going to consume? And I think instead of us consuming the right things to become a better version of ourselves, first individually, then as a spouse or a girlfriend, boyfriend, we're consuming the wrong things. We've got to put away the things that are not healthy. But the society is consume, consume, consume. Social media all day, worry about whatever people, worried about the likes, build up your followers. So we're consumed by the wrong things, Terrence.
And that is true. Because we consume more than we've ever had before. We consume at a high rate, more than ever. And so now, you know, it's a problem, you know, and I think that sometimes women, and this is what, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I feel, you know, these are just my views, but women sometimes have to learn how to relinquish certain things. So you know how I said before, when a man has certain tools in the toolbox, they can go in and help and clean and wash and fold or do whatever the case is, right? You've got to relinquish things. And guess what? He may not fold like you fold. He may not all the way, I don't know, do things exactly the way you do it. But if he's willing, and if it gets you to the finish line, you guys took two separate GPSs, but you arrived at the same location. If he's willing to cook, willing to clean, willing to wash, willing to fold, willing to do these things, you've got to be able to relinquish those things and say, I accept the help.
I agree. And I think a lot of women, we don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going back to being, how can I do that? How can I become a better person in my relationship? But I agree. I agree. We're on the same path. It doesn't matter if you fold it to, fold it in and I roll it up. But
It gets
yeah.
there, but people want things what? When they want it, how they want it, exactly how they want it. And then they get mad when it's not done their way, right? And that is the thing where I'm saying you have to relinquish some of this power and say, hey, as long as it gets done, it gets done. So I can relax.
Humility. Humility, people don't know how to humble themselves.
Right. And you got to figure out what's more important. You want your own, like, do you want your relaxing time or do you want to do this work and then complain about it? Because you want to have control of it. No, but you don't fold like I fold. I don't care. Is it life or death? Like, what are we talking about? Oh, but you don't clean like I clean. But you don't do exactly what I do. And if you don't let this book, and then you're mad about and not helping. I wouldn't want to help neither if it was like that. If it's like that, man, you can keep it. Do it yourself. I'm like that. Like, do it yourself. If you don't want my help, do it yourself. Right? Like, but we have this thing of control. Like, if I say, hey, Toshiba, can you help me with this? Go ahead. That means do it.
Let's just do whatever. Yeah.
It's done. Right? Do it. Cool. Because I need the help. Right? And like I said, to think that sometimes, because, I said it before, women all sometimes feel like, oh, well, me and my mama did it this way.
That's right.
Don't care. Me and my mama did it this way too. What's that? Why is your way better?
Right.
What are you trying to say? So what? And I think that's where I'm saying it just comes to a place of just you're not doing what's best for the family. You're just doing what's best for, like, for you. Like, it's about you. It's about yours. It's about your ego. It's about what you can't let go of. I mean, my mama did it like this. I don't care what you and your mama did. Me and my mama did stuff just like you and your mama did stuff. Let's not do that, right? My mama cooked chicken this way. My mama cooked chicken this way too. What's up? What do you want to have a cook off? Like, where are we going with this stuff? Right? It's petty. And it's not what matters.
Yeah.
I don't know. This stuff sometimes grinds my gears because it's more complicated than it has to be. It's more complicated and it shouldn't be. As long as y'all healthy, y'all good, that's what matters. Because I promise you, when one person is sick, you ain't thinking about he ain't fold this way, he ain't
Yeah,
clean this
right.
way.
That is not them.
At this point, you're gonna just wish that the person was home to even touch a, to even touch clothes, to even touch a Clorox, to even touch anything. I wish that. And then you're gonna think about all the times.
She's right.
You nagging.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, I like to just keep it simple. AI, AIS, keep it simple, man. Right? Do what's best for you. Do what's best for the unit.
I like that. Do what's best for you on that.
That's it. Whatever that is, you do it. Because everybody has their day where it's great. Everybody has them rainy days. Do you want to be right? Do you want it to work? I think that's the question. Right?
Like that. Right.
And being in a marriage just means dying to self.
Well, you better speak. Yep.
Doesn't
That's
mean that you don't have your own life. That's not what I'm saying. I'm
right.
saying just means dying to yourself. Like, All right, well, it's not just about me and the way I did things when I was growing up and the way I did this. It ain't about that. It's about you. It's about the unit. And I think that's the frustrating part of all on both men and women's side is ego, it's arrogance. It's all the things, right? That go on in relationships instead of it just being about us.
That's why we encourage brothers and sisters therapy. Individual, as Terrence was saying, it's a safe space just to release. It's a safe space just to vent and just to get maybe some new perspective for yourself individually. And if you feel you need to, then tap into some other stuff. And then when you feel time is right for as a couple to help with building those tools and expanding and building on the relationship where you two have defined what the relationship is for you two.
Yes. And ladies, last thing I'm gonna say on y'all. Then I'm gonna ease up on it. I'm gonna ease up on y'all a little bit. Stop bringing your man to therapy like you're bringing him out to the whooping shed. Like, stop bringing him to therapy and saying, we gonna get you right. For a lot of men, this could be their first experience with therapy. And if that's how you present it, you ain't never gonna want to go. Because you're not making it about the unit. You're making it about him. And maybe you need to get your act together too. And a good therapist will tell you that. And if it's not that, you got the wrong therapist. You picked the wrong therapist.
Say that.
Right? So stop making it like a punishment. Like you're sending him to the principal office and I'm gonna get you right. Because that's not what therapy is. Therapist is to make the unit better, to operate more effectively, more efficiently. And if you go to therapy, you might be surprised. You might be part of the problem. I'm leaving it at that, ladies. Don't kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in Vegas, book the Sheba. Now, what advice? Now we've heard what's wrong. What advice would the Sheba give in this dating world where you get a lot of bad advice, toxic advice? What would you tell the ladies and gentlemen out there about dating? How can they date more efficiently, more effectively, successfully, right? From a clinical standpoint, right? What would you tell them?
Well, of course, we're talking about therapy. So number one, we've got to sit and first of all, be okay with being single if you're single. If you're not in a relationship, learn to be okay with being single. Being single sometimes gets a bad rap because of the society. But when I was listening to somebody, we single means whole. There's nothing wrong
Ooh.
with single means whole. When you're single, when you're one, you're whole. So first, change the perspective. If those of you who are single and feeling some type of way about it, single means whole. So learn to be okay with being single. Come to a space of healing because people always tell me work on yourself, and I'm like, I am like, but I took it from a different aspect of I'm building for myself. What I say building is I'm getting my master's degree. I'm working on, becoming a therapist, starting my private practice, doing books. Okay, that's great. Building, but how am I healing? Healing emotionally, healing from the things of my past. So we've got to learn to be okay with sitting and really identify what are things that I know I need to work on and overcome. Is it insecurity? Is it confidence? Is it anger, quick to be angry? Why are you so quick to be angry? Why are you so quick to be defensive? So we've got to look into ourselves, number two, actually, about how to be okay with us first being single and working on those things. What's what Terrence and I had mentioned about happiness in a marriage, happiness is fleeting. Once you okay to be single, working on self, we've got to learn what makes me happy by myself. What makes me happy when I'm sad, maybe because of being single or whatever the case may be, something happened at work. How can I feed myself? Because again, when you get in a relationship, the relationship can still be good, but you're not every gonna day be happy. That person is maybe, got busy at work and didn't text you, I love you that day, and then you're upset. So we've got to learn how to feed and fill ourselves when we are sad, discouraged, disappointed, things of that nature. So first and foremost, as a woman of God who loves the Lord, we can only be filled by Christ first and foremost. Christ is the one that can fill us. The Bible talks about him being the fountain. He is a fountain. We have a comforter through the Holy Ghost. So we've got to learn how to rely wholly and fully on what God can give us through his son, Jesus Christ. God can fill us, but are we going to that source? So now we've got to recognize, what source are we going to when we're sad, discouraged? Are we going toward, if you're single, are you sleeping around? Are you trying to just because you're feeling lonely? That source, that's going to dry up because, again, we're people and we're flawed. So we've got to go to the only one who can fill that. This is Jesus Christ. Okay, so we've got to, what source are we looking to be filled? So we've got to be honest with, am I going shopping, overworking, trying to stay busy, watching Netflix all the time? Because we know that there's something there. So then we've got to identify that source that we're pulling from.
Yep.
Okay, how can I feed myself in a healthy way? Once we can feed ourselves in a healthy way, when we get discouraged, frustrated, disappointed, we're like, okay, life be life in. So we know stuff happens. But then we're like, okay, once you feel you've kind of been walking through that, and even when you get in a relationship, as Terrence said, when you get in a relationship too, that's when God shows you more of you. That you're like, oh, because sometimes things don't show up or you don't know until you're, what does that Bible, the Bible say about iron sharpens iron? Until you're in that romantic relationship. So I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. I'm not saying you're going to be like, no, but to that space of, I am feeling me. So those are, I want to say at least three things I started to get to that place of, we need to feed ourselves before we're out there. Because once you do these things, people, then you'll have a better way of picking and knowing what your worth is, recognizing the red flags, as we say earlier, and be willing to walk away, because you're not like, I'm so lonely, I see the red flag, but I'm gonna, keep going. Or I'm so bored, I see that red flag, but because you've been lonely, because you've been bored, because you've been disappointed, but you filled yourself, you're going to not put up with things you know you shouldn't put up with.
And while we're on a topic of God and relationships, I'm going to say this. The views expressed by T-Tail is not expressed by Toshiba. It's just me. It's just me, what I'm about to say. Listen to me very intently, guys. Let God use you in a relationship, right? Pray over your spouse, always. I'm going to say that, yeah, absolutely. But when it comes to the Lord, do not use him as a Donald Trump prop in a relationship. Okay? And what I mean by that, we've all seen it. He was in a thing with the Bible backwards and all that stuff. What I mean by that is, when you let God, when you go to God about your relationship, oh, don't just go to him about the other person. Go to him about you too. Or fix him. Well, fix you too. Fix you. See, it's always easier to go, oh Lord, fix him or fix her. I don't know. God might need to do work in you. Right? And always this gaslighting stuff. Oh, God, don't play about me in this relationship and this and that. God, no. Okay, listen now. If you're with two believers, God don't play about either one of y'all. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, Toshiba, where, I don't know, back in the day, your parents used to be like, don't disrespect me, you know, Bible says, right, like, and says things from the Bible, even though they done said something to you that was completely wrong, and they turned around and flipped it on you, and using Bible scripture on you, as it don't disrespect your mother and father. I'm like, hold on, you don't do that in your relationship. Don't use God as a prop. Go through God, right? Everything you do, go through God, right? Praying, right? If you want to pray together, fast together, whatever the case is, right? But don't use God as a weapon because you don't want to face reality about your stuff. And people use things all the time, including God. And it really grinds my gears. Yeah. Because when things get difficult, all of a sudden they're holier than thou. God. When things get real, right? When it's about you, you know, oh God. No, hold on. Come back to earth right quick. We need to have this conversation here. Because you ain't always one on it, right? And I've seen it in a lot of different aspects where people just use God as a prop to block accountability. Oh no, God believes in accountability too now. And that's where I'm saying, pray over your spouse so that you can pray through things, so you can overcome things and build with each other. But don't use God as a weapon in your relationship. That's just wrong. And people use God, people use their kids as weapon. People use an insurmountable amount of things in their relationship to avoid accountability. And to me, you know, praying is good, but you need to have a conversation too. Don't walk away from here now. No, come on back and have this tough conversation, be an adult. I'm going to go pray about it. Okay, you pray about it first, but then we still have a conversation, though. It ain't going to replace this conversation. No, we're going to talk, right? Because that's what it should be. Pray. Communicate. Don't pray and avoid. Don't do that. Don't pray and evade. Pray and talk. Pray and communicate. Bring it back to the table. Right? It's okay to put it before God. Yes, I'm praying about it. Put it before you, God. Give me what to say. But come back to the table. And that's all that I really want for people, is to communicate better, to have those tough conversations. Right? Don't just pray it away, drink some ginger ale, and go to sleep. It ain't gonna work. Those remedies are different. You gotta actually have action after you pray. Mm-hmm. Pray about it, get therapy, talk about it, right? But don't evade the problems. They're gonna snowball. It's what it is. You know, so that was my rant for the day. But look, I could have this discussion with you for hours, but I know you do have to get out of here. I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you. Appreciate all the work you're doing out there as a Black Christian-based family and marriage therapist. I really honor and respect that, because we need that. You know, it's funny. One of my boys told me the other day, he's like, man, you should probably be a therapist too. I said, Lord, have mercy. Said, Lord, have mercy. Oh gosh, that's something you got to pray about. But nevertheless, definitely appreciate you. You're always welcome back anytime you want to have any kind of conversation that you would like. Appreciate your expertise. Appreciate you dropping them gems on us, especially from a clinical perspective. Definitely appreciate your profession and all you bring to the community and to this world. We definitely appreciate it. Keep up the amazing things guys, go out there and purchase them books. And the links will, of course, always be right down here inside of the podcast episode here that you'll find. Support Toshiba and her projects that she's going to be having coming up. Is there any projects you want to tell us about coming up?
Sure. I'm doing a few weeks of book club from Stress to Rest. The book club is free. Just purchase on Amazon on Amazon for Stress to Rest is only $9.50. And you could just email. I know Terrence has my information. You can get a hold of me that way to get the link. Yeah. So I'm doing that right now. And then I am going to be doing a conference, and I will give you more information on that so that Terrence can share as that comes along. That's in August of this year. Mm-hmm. And then also, too, you can reach me if you're interested in doing my monthly dance empowerment classes. Let's get out there. Let's release physically. Let's release emotionally and walk in our identity, ladies.
Hey. Yes, and it is for the ladies. Sorry, fellas. Maybe one day, she'll have something for you. You know,
me and Terrence might collab. Terrence, we could collab.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, yeah, I gotta stretch first. We gotta give me a couple months to stretch this out, get the hamstrings going. But yeah, we can definitely collab and do something for the ladies and the gents.
Yes.
That's important. You know, so definitely stay tuned for that. We'll figure something out.
We're gonna figure something out. We'll figure something out. Yes.
Maybe we'll be walking and not dancing. I'm not sure.
We don't have to dance.
I feel like my dancing days is over. Well, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. So we'll figure it out. But definitely, as always, support this amazing sister here. She's one of us. She's ours. So please support her as much as you possibly can. Again, thank you. We appreciate you.
I've enjoyed myself, Terrence. So whenever you want to hit me up for another topic, I'm open as well.
And you know I'm going to. So with that said, this has been another episode of Conversations of the Heart. As always, it is your boy T Till. We have Toshiba Davis here. Please subscribe, like, share, and go to her Instagram page too, and hit that like and follow button. And we will see you back again soon. All right, take care. Peace.